You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can't. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. It's hump day Wednesday. Got to get over that hump. So hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, you know what to do. Exactly. Continue to do what is most important and appropriate for you to do. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives, the first one up. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other ways to catch the programs is whatever search engine that you use, put in the search babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. All right. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Because brothers and sisters, if you don't do it, it's just like what's happening with, I need to get a report about what the new Black Wall Street. I need to talk to, because I was informed that they had a group of people came to the new Black Wall Street, a number of them, hundreds, I believe I was informed, and they dropped bread. They helped out the businesses. Because believe me, man, I've been through there, and I saw one time businesses constantly closing. You know, brothers and sisters need to leave Atlanta, jump on I-20 East, get off on exit 75, make a right. Three lights, make another right. On the left will be the new Black Wall Street, and get up in there and support it. Ashe. All right. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bamani Tahimba. Brother Bamani, he has his next trip. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinya. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 20th to December 1st, 2025, Tanzania. And he has this one, so it must be a mistake. I don't know which one it should be there, but he has November 21st and December 1st, 2025 for Brazil, which is going to be a good trip too, y'all. Get a chance to go to Salvador Bahia, let alone to Rio and that kind of thing. So, but that's Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007, Africa for the Africans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And, of course, they have many programs. They have the Habeshaw Works program here in the Atlanta area. Back to our roots. Black to our roots. Sustainable seeds, golden growers, and urban green jobs. And, of course, they have the Kashi Project. And they have a program coming up October 12th. October 12th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Ghana. In Ghana. We'll talk more about it. Maybe get somebody on the program to talk about it. So, Habeshaw. Ledge, land for the environmental development for group economics. The Ledge Group. The Ledge has 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 170 to employ and over 160 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. They deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, of human essential, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. Become a member of the Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness, based upon my understanding, he is still in Kenya, and I'm not sure when he's coming. I'll give our good brother, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, find out if he's heard anything, but also to want to talk to the brother anyway, Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie. So, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. But go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. He has a lot of good products to promote wellness and a couple of videos. So check him out. Smai Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smai Pharmacy. Brother Jabril, oh man, he's up this playbook, brother. Believe me, you need to check him out at smaipharmacy.com. SMAIFARMACY.com. It's my pharmacy. Give them a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. It's my pharmacy. Or you can drop them an email at smaipharmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. Moses West Foundation, the Moses West Foundation, my brother, doing great work all around the world. We've developed and implemented atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene, water solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Water, and it should be free. Our mission, we are 501A2 nonprofit organization focused on alleviating the global water crises by bringing clean water access and water health and hygiene education programs to the world's most impoverished communities. Water access, our programs are focused on schools, children, and rural communities across the United States and abroad. Sanitation and hygiene, join us. And together we can abolish water poverty one community at a time. Water, the atmospheric water generating machine, the AWG, it exceeds the EPA, which is the Health Environment Standard Programs, and the World Health Organization water quality, helping impoverished communities gain access to clean water, safe drinking water, and hygiene education. Reduce carbon footprint by generating large amounts of water from the air where it is needed. We cut transportation emissions, advancing our mission for a greener planet. So you don't have to drive it all the way across country in a truck and spewing, you know, CO. No. You can get it right everywhere. You can get it right where you are. You can create it right where you are. So, the atmospheric water generating machine. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, us lifting us. In their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, us lifting us. Name of the program is Dare to Win. And if you can go online and catch it, or you can dial. You can dial. The program is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. From 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Contact Brother Abijah. He's got it going on. He's got all kinds of stuff. Health and holistic beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, jewelry, Pan-African fashions, furniture, you name it. They even have a vegan restaurant on the premises. So give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Odata's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. Yep, right down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna where we had the Marcus Garvey Day. Good turnout. And Odata's right there, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian. Give her a call. My sister a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Contact Mama Nia. Or better yet, drive down to the Greenbrier Mall, come on out, and then, bam, you right there. Drive up the street, I-20, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. My good brother, Brother Gazemde Ajamu, the proprietor, and I'll give him a call at 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Also off of I-20 exit, that's, you can get to the Black Dot by exit 74. You can get to the New Black Wall Street by exit 75. Take exit 75, make a right. Three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the New Black Wall Street. Check them out. The New Black Wall Street. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Contact my good sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essential, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-IET.org. Sister Gabby Aurelia has been doing an outstanding job with working with the young people in the northeastern portion of the mountains of Haiti. And as you know, they rely solely on the goodness of those outside of the country or those who have the wherewithal. So go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-IET.org. Sanjay-IET.org. All right, family. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya. Yeah, I hope he's doing better. But, of course, school is happening, so the Akabin Institute is happening. And you can make donations to Akabin Institute and go to PayPal or go to Cash App, you know, and make those donations.
to Baba Baruti Mama Yah. Uh-huh. So, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 20th. Misfortune is sometimes just good fortune, well wrapped up. When the wrappings wear away, good fortune tumbles out. Baba Amadou. Many who do not know you will claim to do so in order to be seen as authorities with the right to turn others against you. And while from time to time they may be able to disturb your outer peace, there is good in their intrusions. They bring out of the hiding those who are quietly waiting in the wings, yearning for your fall. So when wrongly accused of anything, notice the indicters, but especially listen to any individuals in agreement with those who lie against you. They are the true revelation, for they have been lying in wait against you all along. Deep hatred is a well-hidden opportunist. Those who know better. Affirm, I am fortunate. Affirm, I am fortunate. August 21st. One who stays in the water does not fear cold. A Khan proverb. Nothing can be done to you by those who have nothing that you need. Dependency is the great way to fear and domination. No people is born to be ruled by others. Repeat, no people is born to be ruled by others. That arrangement must be created. And the most efficient way of doing this is to create single-minded consumers and mindsets whose personal and professional validation comes from anywhere but themselves. They must be made to see themselves as domesticated pets and come to glorify that state as privilege. They must come to relish in their state as caged animals. We are this to Yerugu. We are this to the Yerugu. And as evident from their ability to remain dominating force in our lives, this is no accident. This is no accident. They know. Their evil genius is quite evident. They fear us because they know who we are. Mostly through they fear those among us who refuse to forgive or forget what they have done and continue to do so. And like the animals that freely live in the forest, who can easily tear a human to shreds, if they did not move in peace and were aware of the predatory ways of Yerugu, of the Yerugu-minded individuals, warriors are lethal beyond our imagination. They walk in intrepidity because they have experienced the threat of Yerugu and have come through it unbroken. They walk through the cold as they do through the warmth. They know that Yerugu has nothing they will ever need. Affirm, I have been tested in the coldest of waters. Affirm, I have been tested in the coldest of water, brothers and sisters. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. All right, family. What we're going to talk about today is what's happening in the UK. Did some research. Let me say this to start the program off. I'm apologizing to Jay, but that's the extent of the apology. That is the extent of the apology because I didn't know. I had not seen or heard of all the shenanigans, all the disturbances, all the riots, and all the things that have been going on in the UK for some time. I did see a couple pieces, but now I've seen many and got some stuff to read to you, some stuff to play for you, you know. So, because the reality is this, family. All of this madness is because we won't take our ass home and kick motherfuckers out of Africa and run it for ourselves. All of this madness is just what I just read in the Enyasasim, how Urugu has our minds. All of this madness. And here these people in the UK and everywhere else exerting themselves in a right-wing fashion. I would not be surprised. And even though all the indications of the polls and so forth, having Kamala Harris winning, I wouldn't be surprised if she did lose. She don't have to win the popular vote. You know that. Because the Republicans haven't won a popular vote since Ronald Reagan. And there have been many Republicans who have ascended, such as Donald Trump. There should be no way in hell that that man should ever be a president of any damn thing. But that can happen. And here it is. It can happen for him as a convicted felon. All this shit about felons can't vote. This society and Europeans are so hypocritical. Look what's happening in the UK. Let me play this, and then I'm going to read this piece. And this is what we're going to talk about today. See, let me say this about what happened with Jay. Jay brought the right situation, but he didn't do it right. He continued to disparage a listener. And as I told him, no, don't make up stuff. Don't do that. Respect. I'm asking family that listens, those who listen to this program, because believe me, I know I respect the callers. I know I do. You have an opportunity to talk, to engage. I respect the callers. But I will not have any callers disrespecting the listeners. It's not going to happen. Believe me, it's not going to happen. And if you are taken off and you persist, it won't. We'll flag you. You can't call. Because what we want is dialogue. What we want is understanding. What we want is a commitment to changing the African mind. That is the problem. We're at war for the minds of our people. And when you see a situation such as what's happening in the UK, how vicious it is. The real thing is to, hey, let's go. We got to go. Because it ain't like these son of a bitches haven't known what we've been talking about for hundreds of years since our captivity, even during it. They know. They know. They have cognitive dissonance, family. This is prime example. We've been saying it for years. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior. They believe that they should rule, that they should run things. They believe this solely. And all the information that says contrary, they dispute it. They ignore it. They kick it to the damn curb. Because what's important to them is their idea of supremacy. Their idea and ability that it must be done their way or no way. Here's a piece. What's driving the rage that fueled the riots in the UK? Let's check it out.
The perpetrator of a mass stabbing in nearby Southport last month was a Muslim immigrant. Now, one word keeps coming up here.
Just paranoid. Paranoid of whoever I'm with. Paranoid around, you know, my train, my commute, even my Uber. And, you know, that in and of itself is quite psychologically, you know, traumatising, isn't it?
Imam Adam Kelwick is trying to reassure worshippers here after mosques, immigration centres and stores owned by Muslims were targeted.
There's this us and them in society, and everybody stays in their own corner and they demonise each other and they throw stones at each other.
Adam caught global attention when he crossed the line to start a conversation with people chanting anti-Islam slogans outside this mosque.
We were expecting the worst. At the same time, we decided to do something different. I put a video online saying that, you know, we've been told there will be protests outside our mosque tomorrow evening. We just want everybody to know who will be protesting that you are our guests and we will have food and drink ready for you and we're willing to listen to what your concerns are.
Amid the riots, this Liverpool library was looted, leaving locals outraged.
It's really disgraceful. I mean, the library, what's that got to do with it? So, yeah, I was quite shocked, like, really, I've got to admit.
But not everyone is surprised that the UK reached boiling point.
It's very common for riots to start with false information being spread. But then, usually, they built on some kind of more deep-seated social, maybe economic or political issues.
Historian Vera Toltsil-Tinkovich says the seeds of today's discontent began after the 2008 financial crisis, then the UK's Brexit vote to leave the European Union.
We had, during the campaign around the Brexit referendum, all sorts of mainstream, non-mainstream, mainstreamed politicians kind of blaming socio-economic problems on migrants. It resonates with certain individuals and, yeah, particularly kind of people from left-behind communities.
Following the riots, hundreds were arrested across the country and jail sentences were already handed down at this Liverpool court. But at this nearby pub, some argue those involved weren't all extremists.
The media brand, anyone that has any legitimate concerns, is potentially, you know, far right. Obviously, there is some people that are generally disappointed with the state of the country at the moment, and people need to, in positions of power, need to listen to these people instead of, you know, basically alienating them and branding them as far right.
Alienation is what Adam wants to avoid. He plans to open the mosque up and invite those who attended the riots inside to try and build bridges.
The result of all of this chaos over the last week is that my community now is communicating with parts of society who we've never spoken to before. I don't want things how they were before, because we've entered into a new phase now, and I'm sure we can build some amazing relationships and alliances with people who just over a week ago thought that we were their enemies.
He's relieved that far-right extremists also seem far outnumbered here. For now, riots have been replaced by anti-racist demonstrations across the country and an outpouring of support for the UK's ethnic minority communities.
That's going to continue. It's going to continue. I mean, you think that these overtures for peace, these overtures for reconciliation and dialogue and so forth, all of this stuff has been happening and happening. So it's like ebbs and flows, you know. It happens and it reaches that point, then it dies down and it's chilled. Then it goes back to reaching that particular point. And what is the main culprit? The Urugu, the Caucasian, the cracker. That's the main culprit. That's the one who, in their mind, that everybody else must bow to them. Everybody else must be dictated to by them. We're going to read this particular piece here. This is from the Christian Science Monitor. Far-right riots are ravaging the UK. Why are they happening now? Because they're happening now is because the immigrants. See, I think, didn't I read a piece about the UK? Not necessarily the UK, but all these countries that engaged in colonization, and the places that they colonized were literally looted and raped by the colonizers. And some of the people, even though they should band together, come together, and change the dynamic within the country, they have opted to find ways to get to Europe, find ways to get to Belgium and all these colonization, England, France. And then, of course, they're looked at disparaging and treated. You've seen what I'm saying. Treated with such disrespect. Because in essence and in reality, they need to be home. They need to be in their country with all those who are in their country who don't belong in their country. Leaving and taking nothing. And we'll be back once we get it together to sue y'all asses in international court. That's justice. And damn it, we are seeking justice. When a crowd of far-right rioters is descended on a budget hotel in British town of Rotterdam Sunday. It had one target in mind, the tens of asylum seeking living inside. First, the rioters blocked emergency exits. Then they tried to set fire to the building. The Rotterdam, The Rotterdam attack was not an isolated incident. On the same day in the town of Middleborough, 90 miles west, rioters blocked the roads, only allowing drivers who were Caucasian, who were Yorugu, and English to pass. Well, what about African English? English Africans. Yeah, right. To pass. Further south in the town of Tamworth, a second mob targeted a hotel housing migrants, hurling petroleum bombs and wounding a police officer. As the UK, the United Kingdoms, grapples with the wave of racist, anti-migrant, and Islamophobic violence, which began after far-right groups falsely claimed that a Muslim migrant had been responsible for the fatal stabbing of three children in the town of Southport on July 29th. Many are in shock. Mosques and businesses have been repeatedly attacked, and a library in Liverpool torched. Police are preparing for more riots Wednesday night in as many as 30 locals, according to the reports. Man, oh man, oh man. And the Christian Science Monitor says, why we wrote this, a story focused on safety. The far-right rioting has been racking the UK, began after a deadly attack on a dance class full of little girls. But the actual cause of the violence stems from events that took place long before that. But for the communities targeted by the far right, as well as the academics who study its movements, the attacks are no surprise. For years, they say, extremists have been able to build support for their rhetoric in online communities and would tack acceptance of proportions of the media and political spheres. The recent outbreak of violence is just the logical conclusion of that process. Far too long, minority communities have been scapegoated and blamed for our country's problems, says Shahira Saladin, a Muslim member of parliament for the Labour Party. She said on social media, It is political choices by conservative governments that have led us to this point. That's conservatives. Same here, ain't it? Conservatives. New messaging for the far right. Part of what made this week's violence so disturbing was the openness of its prejudice and hatred. Racist Islamophobia slurs were spewed on walls and shouted in the streets. Oh, man. J.D. Vance said, Amazon fueled Black Lives Matter so rioters would destroy rival retailers. They spray Black Lives Matter on something, and then the white folks get mad, and then they go destroy it. But it was a tactic. For a long time, obvious racism like chants or graffiti have been cosigned to the margins of the far right, said Ariel Mondan, a lecturer focusing on racism and mainstreaming of the far right at the University of Bath. It was social taboo. But this lack of open prejudice doesn't mean a corresponding lack of far-right ideas circulating across British society. Online platforms in particular have come under repeated scrutiny for allowing far-right ideas to flow more directly into people's homes. Social media's decentralized ethos could be seen interwoven as part of the weekend's violence, which had no set figurehead. No set figure. They just randomly, because in the mindset of all these Caucasians is they want their country back. They don't want any foreigners. They don't want anything. They want their country back. With no defined organization on which to clamp down, these informal networks are far more difficult for police to deal with. Social media has allowed for networking and far-right influencers, say Aaron Winter, a senior lecturer at the University of Lancaster. He argues that social media has helped create a post-organizational far-right. I don't think the violence we've seen is disconnected from the return of far-right and fascist figures to platforms such as X, he says, referring to Elon Musk's decision to urban figures like Stephen Lennon, a far-right agitator who uses the name Tommy Robinson after Mr. Musk brought Twitter, now called X. But both Dr. Winter and Dr. Mondan stress that large, unregulated tech platforms are just one small part of a bigger, more uncomfortable truth that traditional mainstream media and politicians are also responsible for normalizing far-right rhetoric. Younger far-right activists have become more media aware than their older counterparts. Many have made efforts to couch their language in euphemisms, usually portraying themselves as populist rather than as fascist. When Mr. Lennon's English Defense League held an anti-Muslim march at the height of its influence in the early 2010s, events that often ended with clashes with police counter-protesters, they sought sympathy with the slogan, "Not racist, not violent, just no longer silent." Not racist, not violent, just no longer silent. Just want to spew our rhetoric and our ignorance. There are palpable far-right messages, such as linking migrants to the fears of increased crime or to overwhelm public services, were eventually echoed in the national British news outlets, a slow and steady drip of negative sentiment. In some cases, journalists and politicians believe that submitting far-right ideas to scrutiny would help defuse tensions. The argument has long been that if you don't talk about these ideas, if you don't legitimize concerns about immigration, we're going to have a far-right government or a far-right in the streets committing violence, says Dr. Winner. Well, now we have the latter. You have a far-right violence in the streets. While some news outlets, platforms, or parody far-right fears, others actively fan the flames. In 2016, in the run-up to the Brexit campaign, of course, Brexit was when Britain wanted to get out of the European Union. Britain wanted to get out of the European Union, the Brexit campaign, and of course, they did that. A run-up to the Brexit campaign analysis by journalist Liz Gerard showed that the British tabloid Daily Express had ran 179 front-page dedicated to anti-migrant stories in the previous 5 years, while the Daily Mail had published 122 anti-migrant stories. There seems to be no accountability for the idea that anti-immigration discourse, moral panics, anti-Muslim rhetoric, and racism are now part of the mainstream politics. The mainstream media has been full of these discourse, expressing them as legitimate concerns or as populist or as opposed to far-right or fascism, says Dr. Winner. These riots, these confrontations, these attacks are feeding off of that. UK politicians playing with fire. Media coverage has in turn impacted public discourse and policy. In April of 2022, when Prime Minister Sunak, who lost, they got rid of him, unveiled plans to remove asylum seeking. He had a plan to remove asylum seekers to Rwanda while their applications were being processed. Accommodations for refugees and its costs have been mainstay topics in Parliament and in newspapers' headlines, leading ministers to start housing prospective asylum seekers on a windowless barge. Put them on a barge and sail them in the Thames. Meanwhile, in the UK's recent general election in July of 2024, both of the country's major political parties, incumbent Conservatives and the then opposed Libertarian or Labour Party, made promises to be tough on immigration as part of their election campaign. Tough on immigration. The far right had already seized upon these issues. In 2022, anti-immigration activists were reported to accommodation housing migrants and asylum seekers 253 times, 100% increase from 2021, according to the campaign group Hope Not Hate. Nigel Farage, leader of the Reform UK party, also filmed a number of videos at hotels housing asylum applicants in 2020, telling the camera, "We have no idea whether some of these people might They might be ISIS." Oh, that scared the hell out of them. In an interview with London's LBC Radio Tuesday, Mr. Farage denied any responsibility for the riots, telling listeners, "At no point in the last week or in the previous 30 years that I have ever engaged the use of violence." That claim is open for debate, however. The tinderbox only needed to further spark to ignite real violence, eventually provided by the brutal killing of the three children. The fact that the perpetrator was a Christian, born in the UK, with no ties to Islam, hardly mattered. There's always a racist sentiment, but it's the slow drip of far-right influence being legitimized by the mainstream that makes people feel it's okay to act as a racist, violent matter, Dr. Mondan said. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, people did not fear that they could go out and try to burn a hotel with asylum seekers inside, but now they can just do it. But intellectuals and governmentals and governments have said that there are legitimate grievances. We cannot play with the lives of communities like a political football without consequences. That's right. And the consequences are deep. Yeah. Brother Irv.
Baba Oshi.
Good afternoon. Or still.
Baba, I'm glad you can hear me. Baba Oshi, you're right on point with what you're talking about today. You actually spoke about what's going on in the UK. And I looked to see what was going on also. And the racism is worldwide.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
And the destruction of the American African all over the world is something that is ingrained in Urugu. In other words, I remember when I looked at the Haitians who came to the border here in Mexico border to get into the United States. All of them were under a bridge. It was a lot of them, and they were whipping them. Remember that, by the way?
Yes. Yes.
They were whipping them.
Yeah, they were on horses. They were on horses.
Yeah, they were on horses, whipping them.
Yeah.
They're the only group of people that they've done that to.
Yeah.
Then why is that? But then, I don't mean to change the subject, Brother Ocean. I'm sorry about that. But the thing is, those people all went, they got planes and sent them all back to where they came from. How is it? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but why is it they were able to put them on a plane and send all of the people with melanin, more melanin, back? But the other people, they did not send back. It's something very cynical going on with Urugu when it comes to Africans or anyone of African descent. I was listening to Brother the Irritated Genie, and he said that we all are Africans. The Haitians are Africans.
Yes.
The Caribbeans are Africans.
Yes.
We all are Africans. It's one Africa.
Yes.
And they also said that Marcus Garvey was united. He said that the African brother was trying to tell him that Marcus Garvey was not a Pan-Africanist. And I said, no, I didn't agree with that. But just because I disagree with you doesn't mean you're still not my brother. We have to be able to communicate, Baba Oshi, and not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I say.
In other words, I'm not going to agree with everything you say. But what I'm going to do, what we do agree on is that we have to fight for our liberation, our sovereignty, our self-determination. Those are things that those come before anything, far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And if you're not on that path, then I don't discard you, but I have to keep moving forward towards our liberation. And how do we get that, Baba Oshi?
Yeah.
We fight for the mind. Because Baba Oshi, it ain't about throwing bombs at white people. The way you hurt white folks is to take their money. That's how you punch them in the mouth or take their money. But the thing is, Baba Oshi, we have to continue this fight. The fight is first and foremost the liberation of our people and the unification of Africa. That is what's right. And we got three kings over there, Baba Oshi, from Burkina Faso, Chad, and Niger. Those are three kings. Those brothers have stood out, and yet they know they have targets on their back. So that's what's important to me right now. That's what we are not need to, but
right. We need to feed
this is
that.
One of the many things.
We need to make that from every month a new one comes on. So from 3 to 6 to 12 to 24 to 48.
Until we run it.
That's right.
Until we run a Rugu into the sea.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, my brother.
Yeah. Not only Urugu, we're looking at China. We're looking at all those who are in Africa. We must
do it.
Yeah.
So. Yes, no, but we are, and we're winning. Just because you don't see it Baba Oshie, real quick, I watched this, and I know it's on a lot of people's minds. I watched the Democratic National Convention. I watched the Republican National Convention, and they both look similar to me. These are the extremists.
Right.
All these other, I mean, this guy had his face painted in red, white,
oh, yeah,
blue.
Oh yeah.
Same thing at the Republican convention.
Sure.
Because it's two wings of the same bird.
Exactly.
They're fanatics. They're extremists. And I have no problem with that. If you find something that you want to believe in, brother, go all in.
Yep.
I believe in Africa. I believe Africa is my homeland. I believe that I didn't come through Ellis Island. I don't believe I came through Manifest Destiny. I didn't get free land to push the American Native Americans off their land. I didn't get all that. I believe that I don't believe that a book tells me who is chosen and who's not. That the God I serve chose, made right. me, but didn't choose me. I right. don't believe that. I don't believe you can write a book and then use that book to go take someone else's land.
I say.
Because if you do it for them, you're gonna come to Africa and mm-hmm. say this belongs to us. We right. should be here to teach you to be civilized. Are you serious?
Yeah,
they've you done should, it. You're here to cheat.
They've done it.
Stop. So,
yeah.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. You're not cheating. You're here to rape our women. You're here to rape our children, our boys, and our girls because of your perversion. And you're here to take our resources and then take our coca bean and then come back and sell me some chocolate.
Yep.
No, we're not doing that. We don't need wheat. We don't need you to feed us. Teach a man to fish and you won't have to feed him every day.
Mm-hmm.
Build him a factory and you won't have to clothe him every day. But you want to keep us on your breast so that we have to depend on you. And those days are over, Baba Oshie. Those days, and how did they become over? They became over through the information highway. If Marcus Garvey had an internet when he came through, he did this with mailing and newspapers. Mm-hmm. If he'd have had an internet, he had 6 million people with mailing and newspapers. What would he have done with an internet? 93 million he spoke to. Because the message was clear. We're African. It's one Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So no, Baba Oshie, I don't mean to turn the conversation back to Africa sovereignty.
Hey, no, I do. Because that is the answer. I do. Shit. Okay, brother.
You're right. You're absolutely correct. Because no matter what we talk about on this show,
that's right.
We always come back to the same thing.
That's right.
We always come back to Mother Africa.
That's
because
right.
Africa's in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's no matter how much hair, fake hair you put, Indian hair on your head, I don't mean how much European clothing you wear, how many times your name is Washington or Theodore or Frederick Douglass, whatever your name is, the slave name that you've been given by your family, regardless of that, you're still African.
That's right.
They
that's
can't cut it out, you Kunta.
That's right.
And we have to realize that. And once I came to that conclusion that I was African, and then I started learning about Africa, I started understanding why I was drawn to Africa, because I am an African.
That's right.
And I don't need to look at my skin to tell me that's colorism. That race is a construct, something used to perpetuate racism and white supremacy. I can't get this skin I have is my skin. I'm African. I have melanin in my skin. I can't get rid of it. It doesn't right. go away, and it gives me superpowers. Yeah. I don't think you knew that.
Oh yeah, it protects you. It protects you, brother.
I'm laughing.
Yeah, but it's real.
That's true. That's true. So no, Baba Oshie, I think you're right on point with what you're saying. I think our listeners, the people who tune into this show, they don't tune into this show because they have nothing else to do, because they just can't. We're just so entertaining. We're telling jokes. We're like Ricky Smiley and Kiki and he. That's not what this show is about.
Right.
This show also is not about putting each other down
mm-hmm.
and calling each other names. And I said it, calling each other names. But that's not what this show is about.
No.
This show is about uplifting each other. This show is about us, all of us going to the same place. We may be taking different roads, but that's all right. Because right will win over wrong, if even Africa is rising again. And why is that? Because right always wins. I don't care who you are. Google know they're wrong. They know they you can't have a meeting and chop up somebody else's continent.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah.
We had a meeting. We said we just gonna take your stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody said it's okay. Just like the United States is sending 2,000-pound bombs to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they buy them or they give them to them. But what are you going to do with a 2,000-pound bomb? You're going to drop it on people who are not even fighting you? Women and children? They don't even have guns? But I'm not surprised, Baba Oshi, because these are the same people that dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Exactly.
These are the same people
exactly.
that grabbed American Africans on the side of the road mm-hmm. and lynched them for no reason. These are the same people that drag black people behind cars. These are the same people. See, they have a history. So why are you surprised? Why are you saying, I can't believe they did that?
These are the most violent. These are the most violent prone perverts on the planet.
Yes.
Europeans,
yes.
Caucasian. They're a minority.
Yes.
And because of that, that fear factor is there. And the fact that they can be wiped out with genetic annihilation, particularly by us, causing deeply innate fear in them. So we got to come to understand. See, we don't understand this shit because we be thinking, hoping that we can use moral persuasion, that we can somehow let these folks will respect our humanity in our redemptive suffering by their hands. Now, get out of here with that.
And the con game that was run on you was that the Deacons of Defense were fighting the violent fight to fight these white people, and they were winning. They were beating the Klan back. So what did they do? Oh, here comes a Martin Luther King, and they backed Martin Luther King's nonviolent movement because he would lock arms with the Jew. And the Jew knows that we're never going to be on the same level as him as far as he's concerned.
Oh, no.
So he gives up a job.
Right.
I'm going to get you a job. I don't want a job. I want a business.
The Jew is a buffer.
That's correct.
They use us as a buffer. The Jew uses us as a buffer because there are Caucasians that don't like Jews, even though Jews are Caucasian, because European Jews are the ones that dominate and control Judaism. I ain't talking about Fausa, which are African Jews. I ain't talking about Sephardic, which are melanated Jews, but they were there at the time of the Moors and so forth, and they got kicked out of Spain the same time they did in 1492. But the point I'm making is the domination of Caucasians, of Urugu. That's who Jews are. That's who they are. That's why they had a serious issue with DNA test. They were adamant against the DNA test because they would prove and show that these are not Israelis.
No.
They're not Israelites.
No.
They're Israelis.
They're converts.
Yeah, let me be right. They're converts. They're Israelis because that's what they are today. But they're not the people of the ancient times. They're not Hebrews.
No. They're converts.
They're converts.
That's why they don't call themselves Jews. They call themselves Jewish.
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 Yeah, just like blackish. Just like blackish.
Blackish.
Yeah.
And that's what these Americans, a lot of these so-called American Africans are here in the United States. They're blackish.
Because
you have bought into integration. You bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
You want, and the only way for you to move up is to marry a white man. Or to marry a white woman, or to marry a man, if you're a man. That's how you move up in this culture, because you're black-ish. Because a true African doesn't participate in the homosexuality. A true African does not leave his or her identity to assume someone else's identity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in order to integrate, somebody got to give up something.
Right.
You ain't got no money in capitalism. It's just, if you ain't got no capital in capitalism, it's just an ism.
It's an ism.
That's all.
Well,
it
see,
is.
That's the thing about that's the thing about integration that was not understood by us, because they were throwing that junk out there. Integration means that you have something, I have something, we bring it together. whatever the best of you, what you have, the best of what I have, and that is respected. It is not, but that wasn't it. What they really were involved in is forced assimilation.
Correct.
Forced assimilation.
Correct.
And of course, that meant that you are assimilating based upon our dictates. So wherever we want you to be in this assimilation process, that's where you will be. Not on your own accord, but because we are taking you there. We are driving you there. We are making you go there. And that's what that's what they want to do. That's why we have been at the bottom rung in this society for so damn long and continue to be and will never be out of it until we leave it, until we make that's the move on. As a people to stand up and leave it. So
because we are deemed to be a permanent underclass
that's
in this
right.
society.
That's right.
We're never, ever going to have a
that's
level
right.
playing field
that's
with the
right.
Rugu because the system doesn't operate. Someone has to be exploited
and that's
for
us.
Capitalism to work.
That's right. And that's us.
And that's there you go. That's us.
That's
in
us.
The prison system, in the court system, in the job markets, we still doing first.
In every negative situation in this country, it is more profound in us than anybody else. When you look at the prison population, 40% of the prison population is us. That's
we don't
us.
Make up 40%.
No,
we
hell
don't make
no.
up 40% of the population.
We don't make up 20. We don't even make 20. You know.
So are we that violent? Are we? Where do we learn to be violent from? Who taught us that? Where did we get that from? From your television, from your school, from Irugu. Everything is violent. Everything
yes.
is violent and sex.
Yep.
No, Baba Oshie, you're hitting on some points today that are just amazing. But the reality is we cannot lose focus of revolutionary thought. And I love when you give that every day.
Yes.
We cannot lose focus of what our purpose is. And once you learn your purpose, what you're here for, a lot of people, when you ask them, well, what you doing? Well, look, man, I'm not here to run an organization. I'm not here to have a big company to do whatever. What I'm here to do is to each one teach one. If
yeah.
you just spread the gospel of the good news, and the good news is that I'm African. All day, every day. I may not know where I come from. Hell, you don't know what you are in this country.
Right.
Your parents were raped, and you don't know where I'm from in Africa. You don't know where you're from here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know your name. You run around talking about my name is Washington Lincoln George. Huh? So no, Bubba, we don't. Yeah. I'm from Africa. We're part of Africa. I'm from all the whole damn place because
That's
it's
right.
one Africa. That's
right
where
on.
I'm from.
Right on.
If you're going to push back on me trying to find out who I am and where I'm from, then you got a problem with you, not with me, because you're comfortable in your subservient role over here as a permanent underclass. For me, if Marcus Garvey came here and got a ship that was seaworthy, I would have loved to have gotten on the ship and
right.
gone special. I would have, Baba Osha.
Yeah.
I would have gotten on and go.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'm gonna take a break, Brother Irv. And I appreciate you, man. Just hold on, okay? I'm gonna take a break, family. When we come back, I'm gonna play some more of the rioting in the UK, the response by one particular young man, and so forth, because the situation was announced in that part where I read. I tell you. What did he say? He was from Middlesbrough. So we'll play that. And so, brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com at blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're talking today about the riots in the UK. Something that I was not aware, I didn't see it on the national news, which I'd listen to, because, I mean, you know, if you're doing a talk show, you got to be abreast of what's happening in the world. I mean, we know these things happen. Let's be real with that. Ain't like we didn't know that. We know they're happening, you know. But Brother Brother Jay, but more importantly, you know, my good brother, Brother Ralph, that sent me some good stuff. And so, just, you know, good listeners. And once again, it wasn't the fact that, and why I'm speaking this way about Brother Jay, is how he came off on it, which was way left. And to me, on this program, you don't engage with listeners in that way. If you want to, if you have a will, ability to call that person up outside this program and make that kind of discourse, fine. But not during our time, and not engage in anything back and forth with our listeners, our contributors, our guests. When you call here, I consider you a guest. And much to treat you as such. You know, I'll talk about, and to their face. But I'm never going to disrespect us as a people. I don't use the word nigga, and I don't use the word bitch. It's not in my vocabulary. The N word, the B word, whatever. Now, I cuss. You know I cuss. I've cussed on this platform many times. Especially feeling, you know, let me catch this caller. Good afternoon, Rick.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How you doing, dear brother? How you been?
I'm doing good, and I'm really glad to hear you take a stand, and not being personal against anybody, but there's a decorum that we should have in our relationship with other people, whether we agree, whether we like them, whether we don't like them, whether we agree or disagree with them. There's something called maturity. And now I understand what my father used to talk to me about as I was growing up and acting stupid. And he would say that if you just act mature, act like, you know, like it's not an act.
Right.
That things will go your way a lot better than if you try to force it. And as I get older, I really understand what he meant by that.
Yep.
And so people... it's not personal. It's not against any person. It's against people's choices.
Right, and that, you know, their words and their behavior. Their words and their behavior.
That's right. I can disagree with someone. You can disagree with. I can disagree with you and express that disagreement, and we still go out and have a
drink or smoke
or whatever. You know,
Always going to be one.
You know,
brother.
That's called life.
Yeah, we always going to be one.
That's called life, and it's an opportunity. The way I look at things now is an opportunity for me to continue my personal development when I consider someone else's opinion of anything, especially something that I hold dear.
Right.
You know, they can present some facts that show that, man, I might not have actually added this thing correctly. I appreciate it more than anything. I don't want to argue with them down to my level. I want to come up to their level. And that's what maturity is about. And so sometimes just because you hear someone, you know, on the radio or something, you think that, and like I said, it's not personal. If it's just, I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean you personally, but I'm saying if I'm talking to someone, this is about our public persona and your presentation of facts so that people will listen to what it is you're saying as opposed to dealing with you as a person. That's the problem we got as black people in this country.
Yeah.
We deal with these white folks like they people. We forget they're monsters.
Yes, they are, man.
They are monsters.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. Their history says that.
Exactly.
Their presentation says that.
That's right. Of all
so I if I deal with them in any way other than as a monster, then I'm the one that's at fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you understand exactly what I'm saying.
No
but I'm
doubt.
Saying it so other people can hear it. You know, because it takes two. Yeah, if two people say it, it's better than if one said. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I know you know.
Yep.
But I appreciate your effort, brother.
Right on.
To try to keep things cordial.
That's right.
And like I said, I enjoy your presentation every day.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate you, brother. Continue to listen. Thank you. Check this out. Brother Ralph sent me this. And I know Brother Jay sent me a few other pieces, too. Like I said, didn't see anything. Didn't hear about anything, you know? Didn't see nothing. And then, bam, went online. A whole bunch of stuff is there. I like this particular piece. This is a young brother from Middlebury and some others. There's a Amber Alert coming across my screen here. So it's an Amber Alert. And, of course, you know what an Amber Alert is. A child has been abducted, and it's a Georgia license plate and a black Ford Edge, you know, small SUV. Yeah, Roswell, Georgia. Okay. All right, let's go.
On their streets, to their businesses, to their children. This is so unfair to sit and watch, honestly, because they have done nothing wrong. It's because this racist rioters want to go and terrorize people because they don't feel like they're good enough. They want to get their country back.
I have never felt this unsafe in my life. In all my 26 years of being a black man on this earth, I've been hearing of racism. But for the first time in my life, I feel so unsafe. I'm gonna lie, I'm actually terrified. I'm scared for myself and every black person right now in Middlesbrough. It is crazy. Like, I do not understand what is happening now. Yes, a black guy killed people. Doesn't mean all black people are murderers right now. Like, literally, they are burning down cars right beside my streets. They've broken all windows, looted people's stores. My university, Teesside University, has been broken. The gym building broken. Olympia building, where I did my graduation like 2 weeks ago, is broken. The place where I shot a video about me with bicycle, which is like my last two videos on my page, literally everywhere there has been broken, and every black person there has been harassed, either lynched, stabbed, beaten. Like, it is crazy. Like, they're literally stopping cars on the road to check if you're black before they can let you pass. New buildings that are made for people, you don't understand, they're just building these houses. They broke everything. Like, this is so crazy. I have never felt this unsafe like this, like, in my life, all my life. Like, I had racism, I had slavery, I had all that, but what is happening right now is crazy in Middlesbrough. What is going on right now is crazy. So for every of my black brothers, my Muslim brothers that are based in Middlesbrough, today, 4th of August, throughout this week, just be very careful. Don't move alone. If you are going anywhere, take a cab if possible. If possible, just stay in your house. Like, it is scary. I am scared. I am terrified. I'm traumatized. This is just crazy. That you can be attacked for your skin color. Like, literally, you can't walk the streets right now. Like, I can't go out of my house. Like, I'm locked in. I'm scared to even show my face on the window so they don't break my window. Like, they are breaking people's windows. They are burning people's cars. They are beating up people. So please, you guys should be safe. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Guys, please stay safe. This riot is getting crazy. I was thinking it was little. I felt, oh, it can't happen to me until my family friend just called me how they pursued him. He said he had to run and they were pursuing him. He even has it on camera recorded as they were pursuing him. I hope if he submits it to the police, they can do something about it. But for now, please stay safe. If you're outside on the road, don't use AirPod. That's how he walked into danger. AirPod, he didn't even hear. You need to be conscious of your surroundings at this point, especially if you're using public transport, train station. Be conscious. Don't even argue with anybody in a public place. Don't argue with any white person right now, because you don't know what you will say. It will trigger something. But I don't trust what they are capable of right now because of the riot. And you can't tell who is not part of the movement. I don't even know who they are attacking, if it's blacks, if it's Islams, because it's crazy. At this point, we don't know the trigger, because immigrants, everybody's just, because my family friend, they pursued, he's a British citizen. He's not an immigrant. I don't know why he was pursued. And I've seen Muslim girls make videos of how they were pursued and attacked. So please, guys, stay safe. I beg. I know you have to go to work. We have to hustle. But if it's like permanent job, something you can call in, that you feel unsafe, especially if you use public transport, please call in. Let everything die down for now. If you must go to work, please be conscious of your environment. Good luck, guys. We'll all be fine. Hopefully this calms down soon.
Have you seen the terror on that young man's face? He is scared to leave his house. He's even scared to look out the window because he's afraid that they will spot him and do something to him. We've seen how they've been treating our brothers and sisters. Social media showed us all. Terrifying. This is honestly terrifying. They don't care if you're a good person. They don't care if you're a citizen that is upright, that is paying your taxes. They don't care. As long as you're a different skin color, you are going to get it. They're even looting and destroying people's businesses.
These are white people. These are white. These are white British people who are looting
because they care about their country and they want it back to themselves. But they're the same people looting businesses from their own, not just Africans, by the way, from their own people. Showing us their true colors. We've always known, but sometimes it's good to see it loud and clear, so even the ones that are doubting what they believe to be true, now they know for a fact what's really in their minds and how they actually view us. These people, the racist rioters, really, really expose themselves and their country. Anyways, fam, let us know down below what your thoughts are about the situation in the UK right now. I am Ongel Zalalem. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.
All right. My bad. Okay. There's a couple more that I want to play. And, man, I tell you, I'm not sure how long this one is.
The UK has a lot going on. Now, last week, there were three girls who attended a Taylor Swift concert that were stabbed to death by what some people said was an asylum seeker, right? A Muslim asylum seeker did it. Well, it turns out that it was a 17-year-old that was a native there in Welsh that did it. And so people from the right, the far right, right-wing extremists didn't care about the facts, and they went on a tangent all over London protesting against immigrants and people who are seeking asylum, basically saying that they're making it hard for them there and they want them gone. So this to this point has gone on for a week. Now, I saw a video of a black woman lamenting about what that is doing to her and other people who are going through that. Check it out.
Minority Brits, black and brown Muslim Brits, we're going to need a heap load of therapy after this. I'm laughing. We're going to need so much therapy. What's happening? We're going to need a truckload of therapy. We're going to need so much therapy. So just stay safe at the moment. I feel like we are on autopilot. We are on survival mode, just trying to get through day by day. So as you saw and heard her say that they are very traumatized and they're going to need a lot of therapy. And when the grief hits, it's just going to be, you know, hard to deal with. And right now they're on survival mode. Now, this is not by any means a I told you so moment. But for the last year or so, we've seen a lot of other black people all over the world admonish black Americans, you know, basically making fun of what our ancestors went through, saying that we have no culture, no identity, just laughing at us, right? Now, we have been going through what they're going through for a lot longer, right? Since, you know, the 16, 1500s, we've been going through that. Now, we're not enslaved anymore, but we are still suffering the effects of it. I mean, we still live in a time where you could see a black man lynched in broad daylight in the middle of the street, right? So nothing has really changed for us. But now that the black Brits, if you will, are going through a little bit of what we have gone through, now they're talking about being traumatized. Well, it's like if you think you've been traumatized due to a week of racism, and I'm not saying y'all don't go through racism all the time, but to that degree, what do you think we feel like through the trauma that has been passed down to us from our ancestors? We're still traumatized. Nothing has changed here for us. We still live in a very racist environment, but it's not fun, is it? It's not fun, and I would never dare poke fun at you because as a black American who have been that my whole life, that's every day for us. Now, maybe not to that degree where people are rioting, but we have it to where we can walk in a store, a restaurant, a school, even in Congress. There's a lot of racism going on both sides of the aisle against black Americans. We are still the most unprotected group of people here in America. So we're always traumatized. Every time we turn on the news or open our phone, we can see somebody black being shot in the face by a police officer or being choked to death by a police officer or even riding a train. And, you know, somebody white who feels like they're Rambo can choke out a black man and everybody will stand around and watch. So, you know, maybe y'all will have some sympathy or empathy for black Americans as you all are going through. And I feel like you guys are going to be all right. I don't think that'll be your everyday existence. But maybe now you'll say, okay, before we get on this app or this, you know, social media stuff and talk bad about black Americans, we need to think about what we just endured. So anyway, y'all tell me what you think of that. And for more insightful commentary, please subscribe to this channel and my channel, The Demetra K Show, here on YouTube.
All right. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, Brother Lusk? How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing fine. And interesting pieces. I had to jump off with regards to multitasking at where I am now. But are these recent videos?
Yeah.
And how recent are they?
They're very recent, based upon my information. They're very recent. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I hadn't seen anything on the national news. Of course, the national news all is, you know, one political convention after another. So that's dominating. But even other news programs that I've watched, and I started doing some research, Googling the UK riots and so forth, and found out they have been going on for some time, and that right-wing young racist-ass groups are forming. It's fortunate that they don't have proliferations of firearms in the UK, because it would be a lot uglier. You know, it's bad enough as it is. You know, but it's,
I'm sure it is. But yeah. Just for a person to wield knives and other kinds of sharp objects that are sharp, right? And just coming in close proximity, my goodness, it can't help but be traumatizing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And believe me, they, if they can't beat your ass to death, and they can't stab you to death, or they can't shoot you to death, whatever means to kill you, they'll do. Because that seems to be the mindset. They want their country back. They don't want immigrants. They don't want asylum seekers. You know, here they have a hotel where they put asylum seekers up. And what do? They barricade so they can burn the people inside alive.
Yeah.
This is evil, man. This is evil.
You're unadulterated evil. Yep. You're so right. And you know something, but you've given me some homework, Baba Oshi, as always, that you as well as others who are listening in, and this program does, because, you know, one has to be able, I think, to investigate further, to be able to be empowered on the kinds and types of thought processes that Yorugus and others can have, right?
Yes.
And so it's just so, man, I tell you, got to do my homework, I tell you that.
I say. All right, Brother Ted. Love. Thank you so much, my friend.
I say. Until next time.
All right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshi. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How you doing, my brother?
Well, you know, I'm alive and kicking and giving thanks for life, because that's what we must do. We must give thanks for every moment of our life.
It's about, yes,
Baba Oshi. Let me read this to you. I want to read something to you, and I want to ask you who said this. It said, the media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's the power. He said, and that's the power. He said, because they control the minds of the masses. Let me read it again for the sake of clarity and good order. He said, they control the minds of the masses. The press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. If you aren't careful, I want to read that again. If you aren't careful, the newspapers, or what I call the mainstream mass manipulating media, will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. Do you know who said that?
Of course. Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X.
Amawali Shabazz.
That's right.
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X.
Now, the reason I have to read that, because often I really do wonder if we are really paying attention. I really do wonder. Now, I hear all those people who are...
Hello? You're breaking up on me. You're breaking up on me.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Now, yeah, so... This is it, Baba Oshi. You see, today what I realize is we got social media. But you see, with social media, most of the things on social media is directed by computer programming and algorithms. What it means is that the algorithms are selecting things to put up there for people to view and see, to get hits. It's to get hits, because when you get hits, they take your information and they sell it. The biggest commodity today, information. We live in. So if you get drawn to something on the internet, someone's getting paid. That's how it works. Okay. Now, I live in this country. I'm born in this country. Yeah. And all what you've just played there no disrespect, but I don't think one of them people actually live in England, right?
No, they all lived in England.
They all lived in England, right?
In various parts of England, so it wasn't just London.
They do. They all spoke with foreign accents, yeah? And let me tell you this, yeah? My parents came here in the 50s, 1950, my grandfather come here. I have firsthand what happened. He told my father, and my father told me exactly what happened. And let me make it clear. So
you're breaking up on me. You're breaking up
my
on me.
My position is this, yeah?
Okay, go ahead.
I heard the lady talk about, you know, them and us, like, if they understand what African-Americans go through every day and such. This is what I need to clarify, and this is what I've been trying to clarify. We live with these people. These people, this is fact. These people, the English, whom we live with, they formulate the policies and the things you go for. Police did not start in America. The police who harass you in America did not start in America. They started in England, okay? Right here. What that means is this, yeah? If police harass you and shoot you and kill you, where do you think they're getting their mandate from and their template from? Where do you think that's coming from, okay? Now, it's not something I'm making up. The first officer in this country, his name was Robert Peel. And that's why they call him Bobbies, because Bobby is short for Robert. It started in Whitechapel. Formulation of police actually started in Ireland to oppress the Irish. Then they took that template and brought it to England, and it started in Whitechapel. That's where I live, East London. Okay, that's where the police started. So when you see your police over there brutalizing you, I can guarantee you your top officers come to Scotland Yard to get trained. I guarantee you that.
Or they either they go there or they go to Israel.
No, listen, Israel. Look,
yes.
Let me show you about Israel. You know Baba Ochi, the Balfour Agreement. Was Lord Balfour, was he Israeli, Jewish, or was he English?
He was English.
All right, thank you. That land, what we are talking about, Israel, it was formed in England. England! Before they gave in the Balfour Agreement, England run it and controlled it, and they still do today. This guy in there, Netanyahu, he is not been put there. He's an agent. Wake up, people. He's an agent. All your gut prime ministers, they're agents. They're agents of the crown. I just want to make you understand what's going on. They are agents of the crown. Even when they started that war, where they did in Iraq, Powell came and got honours from the Queen, and so did Bush. They were knighted by the Queen. Do you not know that? They are agents. I'm trying to make you understand something here. So when we were watching this right-wing agenda, let me show you what really happened, okay? Really happened. Let me ask you a question, Baba Ochi. Have you ever met a person from Rwanda? Have you ever met a person from Rwanda?
From Rwanda, no, I have not.
Okay. Imagine that. Now, I would like anybody who's listening to that to tell me if they've ever met a person from Rwanda. Because all my life, I've lived in this country. This country, we have West Africans and people from the Caribbean who are black. But I've never met a person from Rwanda. Never, ever, ever. Right? Never even spoke to one. Never even heard of one. And then all of a sudden, we're getting told this conservative government. And everybody's wondering, why Rwanda? Where did that come into the conversation? Look. Between me and you, because I pay attention, what's going to happen on the continent and around the world, Tony Blair has got something he calls the Blair Foundation, just like the Clinton Foundation, just like the Gates Foundation. Do you know why they call it foundations? Because that's a way of bringing in money to further their agendas.
Right.
So what Tony Blair's been doing in Africa, especially in Sierra Leone, he's got big interest in Sierra Leone and around Africa. He goes around Africa hoodwinking those prime ministers. One prime minister he hoodwinked is Paul Kagame. Paul Kagame is the president of Rwanda, okay? Mm-hmm. You know that, yeah?
Right.
Yep. Paul Kagame was trained in the U.S., okay? He was trained in the U.S. He came back to Rwanda, and what happened was the previous prime minister, they shot down a plane with him on, and they killed him, yeah? And then he was given permission to run Rwanda. I said before, Tony Blair is in Rwanda. Now, I believe There is evidence for it, that through his foundation, that's why this Conservative government was talking about sending people back to Rwanda. Now, what we do know, millions and millions of taxpayers' money was sent to Rwanda. Millions. Right? Because they had this crazy idea, send all these immigrants back to Rwanda, which is so ludicrous. Right? That was going on for ages. Millions of our money was going there. Then all of a sudden, we get a new government. The new government says, that's that money where they've been to Rwanda back. That's what he said when he came into power. Keir Starmer, he said he wants that money back. The Conservative have been sending all this money. Where's it gone? Where's the public tax money going to go? Then all of a sudden, all out of the blue, we hear a young boy of 17 years of age goes to a place, gets in a taxi, drives to a place, right? Who's having some Taylor Swift concert, and start stabbing up the people there, okay? Now, I agree with the country. I don't know no one who has even met a person from Rwanda.
That person was not from Rwanda. That was a Caucasian.
No, his parents were. Pardon?
No, not the person that at the stabbing of the kids at the Taylor Swift concert. No, not from my understanding.
No, listen. Listen. This is what I'm saying. The child who they say who done the stabbing, right? They say he was born in Cardiff. This is what they're telling you. He was born in Cardiff. Cardiff is in Wales. Okay, it's not even in England. They say he was born in Cardiff, which is in Wales, and his parents, who are from Rwanda, they moved to Stockport. Stockport is some seaside town. Up north. It's a little town up north, yeah? I've been there. I've drove. It's a little seaside town, small seaside town. Now, this is what they're telling you in their mass manipulated media. They said, this young man, 17 years of age, right, got in a taxi. Now, what I know about taxis now, no one just gets in a taxi. You have to use your phone, go on the app. In this country, this is what's happening. You have to go on the app and direct a taxi. So they're telling us that he got in a taxi, went to this Taylor Swift function where they had young children dancing in the Taylor Swift fashion or whatever nonsense they were carrying on with. And this young man's gone there and just start stabbing up people, just start stabbing people. And out of those stabbing, three young girls, infant girls, they're telling us, died. That's what they're telling us, yeah? Now, they showed a picture of this young man. Okay, they showed a picture of this young man. Now, before I go there. So after that event, he tried to get away, and he was held down by some men. He stabbed one of them, stabbed two of them, and they got him, right? Apparently, according to them, they got him. Next thing we know, 2 days later, the EDL. Now, the EDL, they're known as the English Defence League. They call them what they're labeled in the paper as some neo right wing group who don't like immigrants. That's what we're told, yeah? So the next thing we hear is this right wing group goes down to a mosque, turns up at a mosque, and tries to set fire to a mosque. Now, I'm wondering in my brain, at that time, we didn't know if it was an African person, we didn't know who this person was. But what we did know is that they've gone down to a mosque. Right, so we're assuming now it must be something to do with the Muslims. It must be something to do with some Muslim situation carried on. All right, so a few days later, they actually show. We got the image of the young man, and he's obviously African, young 17-year-old boy. It was his school picture, actual fact. They put his school picture up there. He looked like butter wouldn't even melt in his mouth. You know what I mean? Now, what I'm saying is, since that time, all you've seen is madness going on the streets with Muslims, because they're attacking the Muslims, Pakistani mainly, Muslims, not black people, Muslims. Now, does that even make sense? Because apparently the young man they claim who done it is African, but yet they're attacking Muslims on the streets, okay? That was led
it
by
the... It seems like
the,
what they're doing, though, to me, Paul, is they're attacking anybody. Everybody,
no,
they want their country back. This is a right-wing Caucasian group.
No, that's not what's going on. Let me repeat again. They went to a mosque. It's not everybody, anybody. The EDL went to a mosque specifically. So it's not anybody. They went to a mosque. If it was everybody, they would have just started randomly attacking black people. No, they went to a mosque. Okay, this is what happened. The EDL took them to a mosque. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself is, how did the EDL direct them to the mosque? That's the first thing we saw on the news. And they tried to burn down the mosque, right? And then they went into parts, the outskirts of Manchester, which is up north. But that was in the outskirts. They're not going to go into Manchester, because in Manchester, you got some gun-carrying nutcases, proper criminals in there who will deal with your case. It's not, when people think you ain't got guns, listen, do you think the British who ran the world and robbed the world don't have...
No, they do.
Mind? These people invented guns.
Yeah, no.
Right? They invented guns. They invented guns, okay? So when people think they don't have guns, you're right, that's what you...
No, what's happening is that British people, they don't have the multitude of armament and guns as they have in the U.S., gun ownership.
This is another misnomer. Of course they do. Look, right? This is what I'm saying. This is why people wake up. Do you think in your wildest dreams these white men would have guns? They got guns out, like it's going out of fashion. Let me tell you that. Yeah? And this idea that they haven't, they have. The only difference is in America, written into your constitution, you have a right to bear arms. And the reason why you have a right to bear arms, because the British controlled America, and in order to get your independence, you had to push them out and you had to use guns. That's why you have guns.
No, I understand that, and I know that.
Yeah, but we got guns.
You know,
they got guns here. Guns. They got guns like that at fashion. So don't get, you know, we'll hear this thing. Oh, they ain't got guns. They got guns.
No, I know they got guns. But not to the extent that every man, woman, and child and baby is armed to the teeth here in this country as opposed to there. And that's a fact.
Yeah, but that's because of your constitution. It's written into your constitution.
Right.
You have a
that's
right
true.
To bear arms. The reason why it's written into your constitution, because of the War of Independence. The War of Independence was based on the British and the Republicans crash, because they claimed that they wanted the land back. So that's why you got guns, because they wrote it into the constitution. But the idea that people think that these people ain't got guns, the people who actually made guns to go around and rob the world, tells me that's how we're sleeping. That's how the black man is still sleeping today. The point I'm trying to make is this, yeah? They were attacking Muslims, right? They were attacking Muslims, not black people. They were attacking Muslims, okay? That's what they were doing. Yeah, obviously, if they saw the innocent black man there, you got some idiots out there, they're going to run down, slap up one or whatever they did.
Let me say this about that, Paul, because a lot of the stuff that I've seen and stuff that I've read, they were attacking Africans. They were attacking anybody who was an immigrant, anybody who was an asylum seeker, anybody who the UK... Hold on. Anybody that the UK or all the other European countries who were former colonizers and the people who they colonized, they and messed up their countries trying to get to their former colonies and to seek out a living. And those people say, no. Yeah. Well, I don't want you
here. That is not true either. That is not true. Look, you see, this is what I'm saying about how they manipulate our minds, and these people are the expert at it. They are the total expert at it. And if you think they're not controlling social media, then we need to wake up. They are the total expert at controlling our minds. You know, they just showed, right? The government brought in some emergency legislation. This government decided they're going to shut it all down. So they brought in some emergency legislation. They said, if you were caught on the video, you're going to get between 18 and 3 years. And some of them were saying, no, we're going to bring in the Riot Act. So in the Riot Act, you can get up to 10 years. They're giving people right now, they showed a picture of everyone they arrested. Let me show you something. They showed a picture of everyone they arrested. I think about 400 of them, yeah? And for the first time in my life, I've seen pictures of events like that where you don't see one black face. I can tell you, hands on heart, may God strike me down if I'm telling you one word of a lie, there was not one face. There were 99% white and a few Asians. And I said, I've never seen that before. I've never seen events like that on the streets where you don't get black people, crazy black people out there running out like they're headless chickens. I've never seen that before, right? So I'm telling you, there's an agenda being played out there. I just read a piece that the media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. That translates to me as this. Look, what you're seeing is not wholly true. I live in this place. That's why when certain agitators are phoning up and say, oh, what are you doing in England? I don't pay attention to that because they have no clue what's going on here. I know how these people manipulate the world. That's why they control the world, because they are the experts in this country, England. I'm telling you, English are the experts of playing tricks on people's mind. They made the game, okay? That's why you all fall down thinking this is going to control that thing on the internet. They do it, right? And if I'm wrong, why are they only attacking Asians? And let me tell you why they're attacking them Muslims. Let me explain why. Why?
Be quick, because I ain't got much time, Paul. Be quick, I ain't got much time,
Let me explain why they're attacking Muslims, yeah? Because previous to this event, okay? Previous to this event, that right-wing government, conservative, were trying to send people back to Rwanda. But it's all a money thing for them. They spent millions of taxpayer money gone to Rwanda, okay? Now, this new government's come in and says he wants the money back. Then this event comes up. They go and attack Muslims. Not black people, they were attacking Muslims. I live here. So why are they attacking Muslims? Because every week since this Israeli thing come up, we've been having crazy, crazy marches in London from the Palestinians, and they've shut down London. You go on the mainstream radio, that's all they're talking about. Oh, you got to stop these marches. We're fed up with these Palestinian marches. They got to get them out of the country, bringing all these laws, etc., etc., etc. So the problem, really, was the Palestinian marches. It was causing them hell. They were trying to... MPs... sacked from pipe, okay? People have been shut out just for even mentioning the word Palestine, okay? That's where it's coming from.
Okay, you gotta tell what you do, Paul. Tell what you do. You hold that. I got to get off. I got something I got to do. So we'll continue this conversation on Friday. We'll continue this conversation on Friday. And we'll talk about, because I want to be clear, too, about what's happening in the U.K.,
Let me just say this. You're right. But let me just say this, yeah? I just give me the second to say. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's the... because they control the minds of the masses. I don't know if there's a truer word said than this. The press is so powerful that in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. You know what bothers me about that statement? It's clear to me today, it's clear as hell to me, that we as black people, black men, we have not woke up. Thank you.
All right, Paul. So we're going to talk about this again on Friday. Hopefully we have some clarity, you know, not necessarily because, I mean, it's a mess, but the deal is this. I'm looking at it like we need to get up out of here. We need to take our ass home. Whether you in the UK or any other country in Europe or any other country in Central and South and North America, wherever the hell your ass is, it's just like the Africans that were in China, who were being disrespected and dogged out in China while Chinese were in Africa being hailed and supported and initiated into African culture groups. It's ridiculous. So, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB for Hardier. A BB for Hardier means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.